do appreciate very much your attendance here tonight. It serves to encourage one another, and I know it encourages me to see you, and I thank the Lord for you. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered, and as always, ask each of you just to pray for me as I stand before you. I recognize, as always, my great need of the Lord's blessing to be able to preach the gospel. I have a passage of scripture that's on my mind tonight. I'd like to ask you if you have your Bibles and would like to turn there to follow along with me as we read in your hearing from the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'd like to read beginning in the first verse of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. And again, this is the writings of the Apostle Paul to the brethren there of the Thessalonians, and under the church of the Thessalonians, as he says right in the first verse of the first chapter, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here in the fifth chapter, beginning at the first verse, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." I hope and pray tonight we have met to comfort God's people and to comfort one another. One thing that is encouraging when we have brethren of like faith and order, and we meet together, and we have fellowship together, it serves to comfort us and encourage us to see others who believe as we believe and see and understand things as we see them and understand them. And also those we can use as sounding board, so to speak, as we share our thoughts with them and try what we believe by the Word of God. The Berean brethren searched the scriptures daily to see if the things that they were being taught were so. And it's important for you and for me not only to go hear where the Bible is being preached and where it's being taught, but also to take our Bibles and to follow to be sure that the things that we are being taught are so. We surely do not want to be misled and misdirected and taught things that are contrary to God's word, because though they may seem good for a while and sound good and maybe even tickle our ears a little bit and please the old natural appetite, they will not make us healthy as God's children. The children of the day need the food that the Lord gives from his word that feeds lambs and sheep. The goats of this world can eat the things of the night and of the darkness, and that even which men, as we tried to say today, that even which men call light, that's really not light, that fits them just fine. But you and I, as God's children, are to have a very selective appetite, so to speak, so that we know that what we're feeding on is the truth of God's word. That's why it's very important when we meet like we have tonight that we're very attentive. Attentive not only to what's being said so that we might be comforted by it, but also attentive to be sure that what we're being taught is truly of thus saith the Lord. One of the biggest helps that has been in my ministry of making an effort to speak to the Lord's people for quite a while now has been the dear little brothers and sisters that from time to time have come and asked me about things that I preached and questioned some of them, which has caused me at times to even search the scriptures a little deeper and find that I had not stated things just as clearly as they should have been stated. In some cases, just had been in very sincere in my efforts to share the truth, but not rightly dividing the word of truth, and we grow in that way. Now, any minister of the gospel that's ever preached is going to have places where he can grow, and should be growing, and should be learning. And we, even as a church, I believe the basic fundamentals, there are some things we certainly don't want to move off of, the basic doctrines and the principles that we believe in salvation by grace. We don't want to be wishy-washy about that and just open to every wind and doctrine. But we surely want to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. I hope tonight you're here wanting to grow. It's going to be hard to preach to folks that really are not interested in learning anymore or growing anymore in the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that the importance of God's little children coming to church and coming to the meeting with their mouth wide open, so to speak, so that the Lord might provide what we stand in need of. The hymns we sing often speak to that. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, unto me, is a petition we sing in a hymn that asks God to truly feed us from His Word. I dare say there are some times we come and we haven't prayed as we ought to, that the Lord would bless the meeting. Or we haven't prayed for the preacher, that the Lord would bless the brother that stands before you to preach. Or we haven't prayed that the Lord would give us an attentive ear and an attentive mind and a hungry and a thirsty soul. Because sometimes we don't understand and recognize the absolute importance of every day having sweet fellowship with the Lord and needing His instruction and His direction and the importance He has put in the church as a place where the truth is declared and taught. That if we did, we would see our attendance as more important than it is. We'd also see that not only our attendance, but our attention as being more important than it is. And rather than being at church and putting in the time, we'd be in church and actively pursuing not only the praise and the worship of God, but to feed from His Word. I hope you're here tonight. And I pray that we are, not in that we might be high-minded or learn some new thing or anything like that, but that we might draw a little closer, draw a little nearer to our Savior. And it's absolutely true. The more you know about Him, the closer you will be to Him. The more you know of what He's done for you, the more you'll appreciate what He's done for you. The more you hear about His love for you, the more you will in turn love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you're able to believe in Him, the more you're able to wear this breastplate of faith and love and not get wrapped up with the darkness and all of the things in this world that can really tear us down. Often I've read, and you've heard, I guess, old Baptist preachers have preached down through the years from this text as much as any place, especially in the Old Testament. In the wonderful book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in the first verse of Isaiah 40, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. And part of the message that the minister of the gospel is crying and declaring unto God's children is her warfare is accomplished. Now, there's a whole lot in that that I'm not even going to begin to touch on tonight, but it sure is right in line with what we read over here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Her warfare is accomplished. That tells me that Jerusalem, and that is the church of the living God, and the Lord's people, that is His elect people that are to be comforted, have a warfare in this world. And I believe all of you would agree with me tonight that sometimes your life, and really if you see it in the light of God's Word, every day your life is a warfare. As long as we live in this world, we're going to have a warfare. The Bible tells us that we'll not escape that. That there's no way that we're going to get around that. That man that is born of woman, as Job said, is a few days and full of trouble. And that the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, just before it tells us we're more than conquerors, tells us of all the things that attack God's little children that we need to be more than conquerors over. And all of those things can make your life, can burn your life, can trouble your heart, your soul, your mind. But the good news for God's little children, the good news is your warfare is accomplished. Now that's, if you're a soldier and you're in the midst of the battle, it sure is good news to hear when you're in the midst of the battle that your warfare is accomplished. That the warfare that you're battling, the battle that you have, even though it is a daily battle, the victory has already been won. The results have already been determined. The strength that you need has already been provided. The armament that you are to wear and put on has already been given. And that which you have is a sufficiency to allow you to be able to stand in any battle and every... You know, battling in this old world isn't so fearful if you know you already have everything you need for the victory. It is when you go into battle and you worry, do I have enough? Am I going to make it? Am I going to get through this battle? And every day you're going to have a battle. Jesus didn't take us out of the world and say you'll have... There's one day He's coming when our battles will be completely over. And the Lord's coming again, and He's just laid that out. We'll probably look at that in just a second. But He's laid that out as something you and I can always keep in our minds in the worst of battles, that if at His worst time, it's just for a little while. We're only going to live here in this world for a little while. Now I'll tell you, if you're not of the day, you haven't liked that statement even. If you're of the night, you don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about I'm just going to live for a little while. I want to live in this old world forever is the mind of the natural man. I'll tell you, this old world is not my home. This is a low ground, as the old brethren have said years and years down through the years. This is a low ground of sin, and it's a low ground of sorrow. And in this old world, we have sadness and we have heartache and we have all these troubles that we face. But here's the good news tonight from the Word of God. Not my opinion, not your opinion. What the Bible says, comfort ye. I can comfort you tonight by the Word of God. Comfort ye who? My people, not everybody. Not everybody gets this message. It's not for everybody, but it's for every little child of grace. He said, speak to them and saith unto them, saith your God, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that her warfare is accomplished. And of course, it goes on and says, her iniquity is pardoned. I'm thankful that's there as well, because, oh my goodness, if our iniquity wasn't pardoned, you know what would happen if our iniquity wasn't pardoned? Then when we would die, we would face the God of judgment, who would righteously and right on track cast us away from Him forever and ever in a place of eternal judgment and damnation. And there would be absolutely no way that we could charge God with anything wrong if that would be the case. But the good news, isn't it good news tonight that your iniquity is pardoned? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God for the blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God for a Savior who can reach out and touch a leper and make him whole. Thanks be to God for a Savior who could take a blind man and speak, his eyes, he would receive sight. Thanks be to God for a Savior who was powerful enough to stand at a tomb of a brother that he loved by the name of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, didn't have to make the first move because he was dead and couldn't make the first move. All Lazarus could do was rot in the corruption that he was, that was death. And yet the Lord, when he spoke to Lazarus, he came forth, didn't he? Because he had the power. He had the power and the ability, and he had the love. In order to take our iniquity, and our iniquity has been pardoned. Our iniquity wasn't just forgotten. Our iniquity wasn't just put away somewhere and to be remembered again. Our iniquity was removed from us, because what we had done was put on the Son. And what the Son did was pay for it. He who was who was greater than the angels, took on a body of flesh made a little lower than the angels, and came here in this world. And he died as a man and paid a sin debt. And as a perfect man, he paid a sin debt. Listen, my blood wouldn't have paid for anything. If I'd have died for you, your blood wouldn't have paid for anything if you'd have died for me. And all of us together will have all something in common. We have a polluted bloodline. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And all our righteousnesses collectively are just as filthy rags. And if we were left to our own self, there would be no iniquity that's pardoned. But good news, brethren, there's iniquity that's pardoned. And because of that, we're looking forward to the Lord's return. Rather than being afraid and scared to death of it, we're looking forward to it. Because when He returns, He's going to gather up everyone that He bought and paid for on Calvary's Hill when He died and paid a sin debt we could not pay. The Lord will not lose one of them. They'll all be with Him there. And those who have died, we'll maybe talk a little bit about that. But those who have died, they are already in spirit and soul with the Lord. They're happy with the Lord today. You and I can comfort ourselves with that, knowing that though their bodies are in the ground or wherever they might be, the Lord knoweth where every one of them is. He knows where every particle of them is. And one day, His children, He's going to come again, and His children are going to come with Him. Those that are asleep in Jesus, they are asleep in their bodies, but their spirit and the soul is with the Lord, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And when He comes again, and that's coming, and that's going to happen, And He said here, we shouldn't be living our lives like it's not going to happen. We should be thinking about that and looking for that every day when we get up in the morning. Maybe today. You say, well, I go through the day and it didn't happen. Well, you can go to bed and say, maybe tonight. You say, well, maybe it didn't happen. You get up in the morning, you say, maybe today again. And live your days and your nights looking for His return. Because we know this by faith. He who went away into the clouds is going to come again. He who came the first time and died and paid a sin debt has gone back to the Father and is seated on the right hand of the Father. But he who went away is going to come the second time. And he's not going to come to pay a sin debt because that's been paid. But he's going to come and he's going to get every one of God's little children out of this old troubled world and carry him home, body, soul, and spirit, to be with him forever. And that is the reality of our existence. And that is the meat of it. What we're having right now is just a vapor. Not my opinion. It's what the Word of God says. What is your life? It is even a vapor. That really means a puff of smoke. You know how much smoke. Smoke looks like it's big sometimes, but it soon dissipates. It just scatters away, doesn't it? It just clears up eventually. And our life is but a vapor. It's just here for a while, and it soon vanishes away. And yes, it seems very important. This is the day I'm living. And our lives seem like, oh, this is my time. This is my existence. But I want us to gather tonight a bigger picture. I want us to see a throne that is in heaven. And I want to see a king that's sitting on his throne there in heaven, who rules and reigns in righteousness. I want us to see that there's praise going on in heaven. There's praise going on in glory. And there's a Lamb there. And there's one whose blood was shed. And one seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us, as the Bible tells us. And that's why when Brother Charles prayed tonight, we weren't expecting Brother Charles to take any prayers anywhere, because we knew that if the Lord didn't put a prayer in him, he couldn't pray one out. And once that comes out, it comes from the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't take his words, the words of just a man, and all of us collectively were just men and women and born in sin, shapen in iniquity. If the Lord doesn't cover us in his blood and carry our petitions as our intercessor to the ears of the Father, they'll never be heard in heaven. Tonight, I believe they were heard. I believe that he heard our prayers. I believe he knew what we needed before we asked. I believe he blessed the brother to speak what we needed. And I believe he heard those things, not because we got it right, but because he is altogether right and lovely. And we can comfort one another with this truth. Not only to hear about it, but to be clothed in it, to wear it, to put it on, to walk in it, to live it. To have every meeting be a special meeting. Have every preaching service to be the best you've ever been in. to have every song that you sing be not just something you get through from the beginning to the end. Great is thy faithfulness. We sang that hymn tonight, and I thought, oh, how blessed we were to be able to praise Him and declare unto Him, great is His faithfulness. Not only His faithfulness to carry us home to glory, but His faithfulness to keep us in this old warfare we're in this world, where He said, your warfare, brother, your warfare, sister, don't let it worry you. It's accomplished. I am your sufficiency, Jesus said. He is our sufficiency. He is our... Without me, He said, ye can do nothing. And the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. Brethren, that is our sufficiency. Our warfare is accomplished. We go back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that are right unto you. Now, what is he talking about? Well, he just told them about Christ coming again. And I can't get by without reading it. It's good. It says right here in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and do you see the whole basis of our hope is based on that understanding. If Jesus didn't die and rise again, boy, there wouldn't be anything about death that we'd want to even hear about or think about. There would be no hope for us in death. But oh, I want you to know, just as sure as Jesus died and rose again, there's a promise that comes in that. You want to see where our warfare was accomplished? You want to see where our iniquity was pardoned? You want to see why we can comfort the brethren tonight? That I have a message from the Bible for God's children that will serve to comfort them? Is in this message, Jesus died and rose again. Now, I can't give you faith to be able to believe that, but if God has given you faith, I encourage you, I implore you, you exercise, you utilize your faith in embracing the reality that Jesus died. He walked on the face of this earth. He was everything He said He would be. And if any man tells you anything that other than that, you don't hear him. And don't get bit in God's speed. If he speaks of a Jesus that isn't altogether verily God and altogether verily man, who is everything the Bible says He is, in Him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't know how to say more about it than just that. I'll tell you, He's our everything. And if we would ever declare Him to be less than that, if somebody speaks of a Jesus who wants to do something and can't get it done, he's speaking of a Jesus that's not of the Bible. If one speaks of a Jesus who tried to save but didn't get it done, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. If one speaks of a Jesus who was just a good man, oh, he was a good man, but he was the good man. He was the perfect man. He was altogether good. He even told one who called him good man, right? He told one who called him good man, why call me good? There is none good but God. And I want you to know, if Jesus wasn't God, he wasn't a good man. The good news is he was God, and therefore he was a good man. He was the chief shepherd. He was the great shepherd. He is the Lord is my shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the one he is the reason we have something to talk about tonight to find comfort in. Jesus did die, and he rose again. Listen, he didn't stay in the grave. Aren't you glad we don't go to his tomb to worship and praise him? We don't think of go to a grave and gather together and think about what a great man who passed here. No, you won't find his grave. I'll tell you why. Because he's not in a grave. He was in a grave just as he said he would be, in the heart of the earth. He was there for 3 days and three nights. But just as sure as he said he would, he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he rose again, and he walked among us, and he was seen not only of his apostles, but it says in one place above, 500 brethren witnessed him, and they handled him. Listen, we're not talking about something we don't have eyewitnesses for. Somebody said nobody knew anything about Jesus. Nobody knew anything about him after his resurrection. Listen, he was openly shown and seen that he said to them, handle me and see that I am flesh and bone. See that I am, this is a resurrected body. Yes, it was glorified. And I'll tell you, when the time came, he was carried, he ascended, that one who descended into this earth, ascended back unto the Father. But he didn't leave without a promise. Just as sure as he went away, he'll come again. and receive you. I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'll tell you what, tonight in the middle of the warfare, that should give you as a little child of grace some comfort. I hope and pray it does. See, I can't give you faith to believe it. I beg God, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I want to have more faith. I desire to believe it better. I know this, when I trust Him and believe Him, all is well with me. And when I stop believing and stop thinking like the world, start thinking like the world and leaning like the world does, and listening to the world and listening to the things that are being said in this world that are darkness and not the light. What I heard today over at Little Robinson River Church was the light. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being declared. And it served to encourage me, because it was like a light shining in a dark place. And it helped me because I recognize again, look, I'm not all alone. Neither are you. You got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not just in Front Royal. He's in New York, New Jersey, wherever we might be or go. He is not just, he's around this world. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And he's not just sitting there looking at things. I heard a man the other day, he said, I believe that God's omniscient, but I don't believe that he's omnipotent. Well, you don't believe the Bible if you don't believe he's omnipotent. Because I'm telling you, this book says he works his will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? And I'm telling you, he is the Almighty, which means all power is in his hands. If it wasn't for him, the sun wouldn't come up. If it wasn't for him, the stars would fall from the sky. If it wasn't for him, this universe would fall to pieces. And the reason you and I have the laws of this world in place is because there was a master designer and creator who not only made it, but keeps it. It's by his power all things consist. And I'm telling you, that's who we come tonight to trust in. Can he bless a little old preacher to preach? Absolutely. And can he bless one like you to hear? You say, you don't know where I've been and what I've done. No, but I know the one who loves you does. And he loved you so much, he took every sin that was ever you've ever committed or ever thought, things you don't even know about, that were so contrary to him that you would have been cast away from him. And I would have been cast away from him. And I'm not scaring you with that tonight, because I'm telling you, he knew about them so that he could come to the cross and die and pay that sin debt. If there had been one thing left, it would be sufficient to keep you out of heaven. The good news is we don't have a Savior who's waiting on us to get it done. We have a Savior who did it. He didn't say the warfare is a little bit, got a little bit more to do. You better bring your own sword, because you got a little bit more to fight. Now, I've done all I can do, but that's the doctrine of the world. I want you to know the Bible says the warfare is accomplished. Believe it. It says comfort yourselves in that reality, in that truth. Somebody said, well, what if you're talking to someone who isn't a little child of grace? Well, if I am, they won't have what I'm saying. Because it honors God, and they don't want to honor God. If I'm not declaring to you the truth, if you hear this tonight, and you understand it's a truth, and you feel in your heart, but maybe it can't be for me. That's an evidence it is for you, because it's only God's little children who feel that unworthiness. You see, it wasn't a clean man who came to Jesus and said, if you will, you'll make me clean, because a clean man feels he's already clean. It was an old vile leper, full of leprosy. His leprosy was apparent. He didn't have a little spot on some part of his body. He was coated with leprosy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was a leper to the all over. And when God opens your life by His grace, and you see yourself in the light of His perfection, all of the glaring imperfections in you and me shine out. And you realize, I got to come to the Master, and I'm just like that leper. And what He said is, He didn't say like one said in the Scripture, if you can help me. He didn't say that. He said, if thou wilt, thou can cleanse me. If you will. I love the words of Jesus. You know what he said? I will. You know who led him to Jesus? The Father. I know that because the word says he did. No man can come to the Son except through the Father. You know who he knew he was going to be there? The Son. You know who came to where he was? You know who cleansed him? The Son. I'm telling you, there was a happy leper because he went away clean. And he told him, you go show yourselves to the priest because you're clean. You go show and present yourself. You go do that. And he was clean. Don't you think he was happy? I'm telling you what, tonight you have been cleansed and I have been cleansed more than that leper was ever cleansed in a natural way. You and I ought to be happy tonight. I was a leper, but no longer. I was in darkness. I was sometimes darkness. But now I'm light. I was dead, but now I'm alive. Isn't that what John Newton said in Amazing Grace? I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I don't believe he sang that like we sang it. Do you sometimes? I'm not saying all the time. I'll tell you what. Seems like to me it used to be a whole lot more crying in the song service than it was, a whole lot more feeling. And I felt it tonight, but I don't feel it all the time like I do sometimes. And I know we're all there, but what I'm saying to you, let's try to have it when it isn't there and you can't just put it on. But let's beg God, help me sing more from my heart praises to Thee. Help me, Lord, preach more in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. Lord, help our meetings be more rich and more feeling of Thy presence, and help my life and my existence be more what I... You know, I can feel it a lot of times at church, real close to the Lord, and get to about Wednesday in the week, and I feel so far from Him. Has He left me? I don't think so. Matter of fact, from the Word, I know He hasn't. He's always there. And I know we have hills and we have valleys. We have mountains. We've been on some mountains, haven't we? Oh, I think of some mountains. I love precious memories. Some people have trouble with the song. I don't when I apply it spiritually. If I'm talking about running around like a little boy on the foothills of Madison County, I have some good memories about that. But that's not what I'm talking. That's not what I think about, not him when we sing it. I think the dear old meetings where we sit with some of the old saints that have gone home to be with the Lord. I think of the times I've heard preaching of many old elders that are now at home in glory. And I think of the good feelings we had among the brethren of the communion and the fellowship. I think of the times that He's been there when in my troubles and in my heartaches, where He's wrapped me and held me tight when I felt like I wasn't going to make it. He was right there. He hadn't left me one time. Listen, I've left Him many times, but He's never left me. And the Bible says He never will. And those memories can help us because they give us experience. And experience, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. The experience can give you hope. You in a dark time? Oh, yes. Well, I've been in them before, though. And I know who helped me then. And the same one who helped me then can help me now. Do you believe the God who helped you yesterday is going to be there to help you today? And will be there if He helps you tomorrow? Listen, His grace will not fail you. He will never bring us to a place where His grace doesn't supply what we need. He didn't say, I'm going to give you everything you need right now. Everything you'll ever need right now. He said, I'll give you your needs as you may have them and need them in this world. That means we have to wake up every day and walk and put on that breastplate of what? Faith and love. And what a powerful garment the Lord has given us to wear. He says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What that means is the Lord's going to come back when it's time for Him to come back. He's not going to come back 1 minute too soon or 1 minute too late. And none of us know when that's going to be, so we ought to be living right now like it could be right now. Sounds like a wonderful design to me. You know, it is, because it's God's design. We just got enough humanity in us that if we knew exactly when He was coming, well, we'd say, well, I got a while. Listen, this is a warning. It's a warning not only to God's little children, but it's a warning to the world. It's God's message in the sense of this. He says, for when they shall say, that is the world, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Do you know there are many people in this world today, when you talk about the Lord coming back, they think you're crazy, and they just scoff at it, and make light of it, and make fun of God's people who believe it, and those who profess it and teach it, how they'll make light of them. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what they think. There's a God on His throne who one day will bring every tongue, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And some will do it in a worshipful way, and others will do it in submission to Him, in obedience, just like the devils declare Him. Listen, when Jesus walked into the synagogue, there was a devil in one person that cried out and said, "Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth," he said, "Oh, Holy One of God." Listen, the devils know who He is. Man can't see it and understand it and know it, but I'll tell you what, they didn't worship Him they're not worshiping Him and praising Him in that way, but they know whatever He says, they have to do it. Isn't it wonderful to have you're talking about a warfare that's accomplished. Even the biggest adversary we have, the devil himself, has no place to stand when we're walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "How can you get the devil to flee from you?" Have you ever had that question? Does he bother you? Somebody, I heard, I believe it was Brother Bennett who said, "Well, the only good thing you could say about the devil was that he wasn't lazy." Because he was always active. He was always active. He's always bothering. He's always troubling. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he and his messengers, his angels, are always doing whatever they can to cause God's little children to stumble and fall in this world. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. When we draw near to God, it says, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." And what's the greatest way to resist him is to draw real close to the Savior, to the Lord of glory. And when you're close to the Lord, listen, there ain't no place for the devil to be. So draw near to the Lord. He said, "Draw near to me and I'll draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you." This isn't talking about the dead alien sinner coming to the Lord. It's talking about the brethren, the little child of grace, the one He's bought and paid for, drawing close to the Savior in your life so that you'll have the power to face the warfare that you have in this world in a way the warfare is accomplished. And the victory, you're more than conquerors by the grace of Almighty God. And that's what He's talking about here. He says, "But ye, brethren," see, there's a difference between the way we should think of His coming and they should think of His coming. "But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Which means if you and I are looking for Him every day, it won't surprise us when He comes. It'll sure help you walk better and talk better and think better, behave better. It strengthens you. It guides you. Not that we're scared to death of Him, but I hope we love Him and respect. We have a fear of Him. We have an awesome respect and fear of Him. I hope we pray. That's the beginning of wisdom and that God has given. But it's not a slavish fear that He's going to cast us away from Him. But we want to be, do we not want to be found about our Father's business when the Lord brings us into account? And actually, He does that in our lives anyway, doesn't He? You know, there's a whole lot of times when I'm not about my Father's business that He brings me into account and He says, "What are you doing? You know, what are you doing here?" And it's not sometimes the place I'm at. It's the place my head is at. It's the place where I'm thinking. It's what I'm saying. It's what's going on up here when I'm doubting and I'm not where I need to get back. Get back to the Word. That's why we come back to the Bible. That's why the Bible's so important. If God's little children get away from this Word, it's easy to get wrapped up in the things of this world. That's why we need to feed upon it and nourish on it and talk with one another and communicate in that way. And He says, "Ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief." He says, "Ye are all the children of light." Who? All of His children are children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. That means we ought not be walking like the world. This "not of the night" means you're not of the world. You're not darkness. You were darkness, but now you're light. But sometimes God's little children walk like we're darkness, don't we? Like God hadn't done anything for us. Sometimes we're acting not like His children. Sometimes we're thinking not like His children. And that's why we come back to the Word and have our minds renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you get your mind renewed. That's what you come to. I come to church to help me get my mind renewed, that I might remember, have my pure mind, that inner man stirred up by way of remembrance. Isn't that what happens in a good meeting? You come in, you feel so down, and you hear those wonderful truths, sometimes things you've heard so many years, and it had meant a lot to you, but we forget them, and we need them. We need to be reminded. Oh, listen, brethren, there's a day coming where we'll not forget it anymore. And we'll be able to lay this old garment of sin aside, and we won't have a battle to fight, that we'll be carried home in this old body, and we'll have a body and a soul and a spirit. Did I ever read all of that? Anyway, we were caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll be changed and be like Him. If those who are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, and those that are in the ground are going to arise first, and there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit, and we won't have a warfare in heaven. But like a brother told me, I said, you know, things just can't seem to be right here. He said, Brother Gary, you're expecting heaven to be here. Heaven ain't going to be here. Heaven's going to be over there. Now, I believe we can have a little heaven here below as we walk in fellowship with the Lord, but it's just an earnest and a foretaste of what we're going to have one day in fullness. You see, down here, on our very best occasion, we still see through a glass darkly, still shaded. The old sin is still present, and we have that battle. One day we'll see face to face, and we'll know as we're known, and that's coming sooner than you think. And until that time, every day we face and live in this world, Jesus has provided for us a sufficiency, a supply of His grace to sustain us in the warfare. The warfare is accomplished. Time has gone. You've been very patient. He says, you're children of the light and children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, you say, that's a fact. We didn't do anything to get that. That's a fact. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us not sleep. As do others. What does that mean? I mean, some of God's children are asleep. Now, the world is already they're not asleep, they're dead. You know, some of God's children have gone to sleep where they look dead. They, as do others. But let us do what? Watch. I want to watch, and I want to be sober. And that word sober doesn't mean we just don't, it doesn't mean you just abstain from alcoholic beverage or something like that. It's talking about living your life as a believer of the truth. It's talking about putting on, it's walking in the belief and in the faith and trusting in the Lord and having your day-to-day walk affected by the fact that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and His return. It's a lifestyle that's based as a believer. And sometimes I look at some things, I got some things in my life, you take account of yours, I've got some things in my life that I'm, and I will, listen, and if we don't see that we have them, we are not taking close enough account. Because until we leave this world, there's going to be some things that we need to put off. Some things that don't line up. And that, and don't get discouraged about that. That's a what? That's a warfare that you'll have until you leave this world. But oh, I encourage you, fight that good fight of faith. And trusting in the Lord, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, trusting in the Lord, and love. Loving Him and loving God's people. And He says, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And verse 9, He says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. How all God's little children ought to see and understand that. That's good news to me. Aren't you thankful that's there? For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to what? Obtain salvation. How? By our works? No. By what we did? No. By our Lord Jesus Christ. So how does salvation come? It comes by our Lord Jesus Christ. What did you and I have to do with that salvation? It was done for us. We were acted upon. He says, Here's how it happened. Who died for us, that, get this, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And then verse 11 sounds just like Isaiah 40. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So as we've done that tonight, we'll need to do it again tomorrow and the next day. And on and on and on until the Lord returns and he's coming. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Amen. Whatever your case might be, you let your